Translation: Krishna never consorts with his illusory energy. Still, her connection is not entirely cut off from the absolute truth. When he intends to create the material world, the amorous pastime in which he engages by consorting with his own spiritual chit potency, Rama, by casting his glance at the deluding energy in the shape of sending his time energy, is an auxiliary activity. Purport: The illusory energy has no direct contact with Krishna, but has got indirect contact. The illusory energy has no direct contact with Krishna, but has got indirect contact. Vishnu, the prime cause, lying in the causal ocean, the plenary portion of Mahashankarsana, who has his seat in Mahabaikuntha, the sphere of Krishna's own extended transcendental pastimes, casts his glance toward the deluding energy. Even in casting his glance, he has no contact with the deluding energy, because the spiritual chit, potency, Rama, then carries the function of his glance as his unpolluted, ever-submissive potency. The deluding energy, as the maidservant of the spiritual chit potency, Rama, serves the manifested plenary portion of Godhead consorted with Rama, the time energy representing the force of activity of instrumentality of Rama. Hence there is found the process of masculinity or the creative force. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun. This is about the glance of the Lord, including in the Bhagavad Gita, Mayadyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam, which indicates that where Krishna says himself that he glances over this material nature and thus activates it. Mayadyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. Hetunani na kontaya jagadvi parivartate. The material nature is going on because of his glance. Mayad akshena means his glance of his eyes. So, it's actually very personal if you think about it, because glance comes from a person. And what is a glance? What's in a glance? When you think about how if someone looks at you in a certain way, what implications it has. Sometimes just by a glance, a fight can start. Somebody looks at you, they're like, why'd you look at me like that? Why do you look at me like that? You know, it's very personal. It's coming from a very deep level, how somebody glances at someone else. And the Lord's glance, of course, is all-powerful. Angani yasya sakalendri avritimanti pashyanti panti kalayanti chiram jaganti. It's described how the Lord can perform all the functions with any one of the limbs of his body. And in fact, in Goloka Vrindavan, when Krishna performs his pastimes with his cowherd boyfriends, at one time there's a forest fire, and they become frightened. All his friends ask him for help, and Krishna speaks to them through his eyes. And, of course, there are many examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam and elsewhere where devotees are hankering for the sidelong glance of the Lord. Just, you know, to have one glance of the Lord as he's walking through the village. They're waiting on the roofs or by the side of the road, and just if they can get one glance of the Lord. And in fact, when we say we're going to have darshan of the Lord, what it actually means is that we're going to before the Lord so he can look at us, because his glance is all-powerful. And we want to go before him. That's why when we come before the Lord, we come in a prepared state. We should come clean, and not only in body, but also in consciousness. We leave the shoes at the door. You can't just come clomping in to the spiritual world, into the temple room. But we go humbly, and we prostrate ourselves before the Lord, and hopefully he'll put his glance on us. And that's how we go on, actually. The whole world's going on because of the glance of the Lord. And it's indicated in these shlokas. They're everywhere. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj describes the whole process of creation, how it's taking place, how Mahavishnu glances over the material energy. And just because of his glance, everything else takes place. However, you know, it's mentioned here specifically that he has no direct connection with his external energy. By his potencies, just by glancing, by looking, then a series of other servants of the Lord take the responsibility for carrying on the creation of the material world. And the Lord himself has no direct connection with that process. He's all powerful like that. And his expansions take over that. However, we're never disconnected from the Lord. Even though he's not directly connected with the material creation and we're involved with it, he's there within our heart. And he's connected. He's in every atom. Ekopya saura charitum jagaranda kotim yat shakti rasti jagaranda chaya yananta. He's close to us at every minute. And by our endeavor through devotional service, our sincerity, we can get the glance of the Lord. It comes through first, as devotees used to say often, and if you read in the histories of devotees who met Srila Prabhupada, often they would say that they were hoping just for his glance or his smile. So we can become connected to the Lord, actually, through his devotees, through his service, by sincere service, and we come in contact with those devotees who are connected, then we can actually attain the glance of the Lord. And then our life has meaning. Just as the whole material creation is brought to life by the glance of the Lord, by his looking over it. So similarly, our lives become purposeful when we receive the glance of the devotees and we get some service. Queen Kunti in her prayers also mentions that the Lord is present. When he was present, he was about to leave, so Kunti was feeling separation already, and she was praying to him that because of your glance, everywhere there are fruits and flowers, the rivers are giving abundant water, the minerals are coming from the mountains, fruit trees are producing food. Everything is auspicious because you've looked at it. And now when you go away, it will no longer be so. So this is our life and soul, to be somehow or other, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, don't try to see the Lord, but try to act in such a way that he will want to see you. That should be our endeavor, to try to act in such a way that he'll want to see us through some kind of sincere service. And he knows our heart. He knows what is the feeling in the core of our heart, how we're endeavoring, and he can glance at us, and he can give us full facility to make advancement in devotional service because of his glance. What to speak of the whole creation, our life becomes activated in that way. Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna. One comment?
Not a comment, I had a question about the verse you quoted from Bhagavad Gita, which is...
Here. Sorry. Inconvenience regretted.
Which in your sloga books is on page 108. Maya Dakshina Praktiti. So, Maya Dakshina, it's translated here as by me, Ajaksena, by superintendence. And this is also meaning glance?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that like in another translation?
Yes. Yeah, Prabhupada describes it like that in his, you know, when he comments on this verse, Adyakshena, that it's meaning the eyes or the glance of the Lord. Yeah. Aksha is eyes. Yeah.
Aksha means eyes.
Yeah. So the whole maintenance is going on like that. Yat shakshuresha savitasa kala grahanam raja samasta suramuti rasheshateja. It actually, you know, our very life is going on because of the glance of the Lord, according to the Brahma Samhita, this verse, that the sun is the eye of the Lord. Even for a fraction of a second, we can't live without the sun. We're maintained by that, actually. And Krishna recommends in the Bhagavad Gita many ways that we can meditate on him, not the least of which is to remember that he is the effulgence of the sun. If we just think at all times how we're being maintained, yat shakshuresa savita sakala grahanam, that the sunshine is the eye of the Lord, his merciful glance. And look how potent it is, just the sun in this world, which is insignificant actually in the scheme of the entire creation and the many millions of universes that emanate from Mahavishnu. One sun is not a very magnificent thing for Govinda, but he manifested in this universe as the light that maintains everything. Just from the sun, everything's growing, is becoming opulent, and we can see. So our meditation can be on the glance of the Lord and how we can achieve that glance one way or the other. Yes, microphone.
Just one question.
A microphone. You got to turn it on.
We use this term a lot, chit potency. What do you mean by chit?
Well, there are many. The Lord has many, many different kinds of potencies, but they're summarized in several categories. And the chit potency means the cognitive principle. In other words, how we come to know something, or the knowledge potency, how we become aware, actually. And so that chit potency is present as one of the potencies of the Lord for which we can know ourself, and we can also know Krishna. That power is given from the Lord.
Then I have one more question. Last week we were discussing about Durga, which is like illusion, which is like for illusionary energy of Lord, so that nobody goes to Krishna that easily. But she is ashamed because, but she is a devotee of Lord too. So that means for devotional service, you have to be dedicated no matter what you do. It's like Krishna's wish.
Yeah, sometimes you get some kind of service that may not seem very sanguine. Like Hansaduta talks about how when he was Srila Prabhupada's secretary, and they'd go do programs sometimes, and after the program, of course, everyone would come up and say, oh, we want Swamiji to come and take prasadam at our house. He'd get dozens and dozens of requests. And then he'd say, you know, he'd look at the schedule and say, you know, he'd let a few people in, and then he'd tell the rest of the people that, I'm sorry, we don't have any space, you know, and no time. And then they'd come back and they'd say, no, but Prabhupada said, he said that we could come. And they'd become angry at Hansaduta, his secretary. So finally, Hansaduta became very frustrated, and he went to Prabhupada and he said, you know, there's so many people coming asking for an invitation, and apparently, you know, you're telling everybody yes, and that I can only schedule so many people in. And so Prabhupada said, it is my duty to say yes, it is your duty to tell them no. So, anyway, it's kind of a side point, but, you know, that service is a little nerve-wracking. It sounds funny now, but when you're on the firing line and, you know, you have to do these kinds of services, that it can seem a little bit pressurized.
So that means, you know, when you love someone, you have to accept everything. So you have to accept Lord's illusionary energy as well. So, but on the other side, we always say we always worship Krishna, not the illusory form of Krishna. So that's sometimes confusing, you know.
Well,
one is chit potency, one is illusory inertia.
Ultimately, you know, when we become Krishna conscious, we understand how the illusory energy is actually coming from Krishna, and it's our mistaken way of looking at the world in which we become entangled. Bhayam dvitiya binibesha tasya ishara petasya viparya yosmriti. Lord Chaitanya taught Sanatana Goswami that because we've turned away from Krishna, what we see is the shadow. And so Durga is like the shadow. But once we understand her connection to Krishna, actually, then the devotees are helped, even by the illusory potency of the Lord. They get help. Atatenu kampam susumikshamanu punjan eva makritam vipakam. The devotee of the Lord, even though living in the illusory world, takes help from all different aspects. And Durga is a devotee also. She recognizes her devotees. She's working in consort with the Lord, and so she can assist us also. So the devotees don't misunderstand and become caught up by the illusory potency of the Lord, because they're always connected with Krishna. They're always in the light of Krishna's glance.